Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and verses 9 to 18. This can be found on page 106 in the Old Testament portion of your Pew Bible. Reading from Leviticus chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.'" And continuing at verse 9, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice, you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so the question has to be asked, when was the last time you heard a sermon on Leviticus? In fact, the other night I was out with a bunch of clergy people, and as, I don't know how it happens, but we always end up talking about it. What are you preaching on this week? And so I said, Leviticus, and they all said, "Oh, you Presbyterians." Over the past months, my relationship with the news has changed into a love-hate relationship. I often think I want to know what's going on in the world. I have to know. But then the news causes me anxiety and discourages me. It's probably not overstating the case to say that much of the news today horrifies me. And it's not only the news south of the border. I struggle with post-truth, post-factual era. I struggle with much of what is said and done south of the border, but I see the news enacted in ways around me, in ways in the people I meet and the people I hear speaking that promote prejudice and threatens the safety of my neighbors, people who I love, that threatens people because of their religion or their skin country or color or their country of origin or their sexuality. And I'm beyond wondering how we got to this place in the world. I don't think it matters anymore. But I'm finding it harder to imagine a way to counteract this culture, a way to react that will be helpful. It's not that Scripture or Christ himself are silent on these issues. But the question is, how are we to act? What is the right way forward for us in this time and in this place where we find ourselves? So today, as people of God, we turn again to Scripture for direction as a group, for encouragement to live out our faith. Now, to some of you, it still seems a little strange that I'm going to Leviticus first. The joke is that Leviticus is a more apt remedy for insomnia than for the society's ills. But there is much in this scripture that I think bears relevance in our society today, not just in what it says, but also in what it doesn't say. It provides a framework for a just society in a multi-faith, multicultural context, and indeed that is what we are living in. This passage begins with words that may strike fear in our hearts. Be holy, as the Lord your God is holy. We might be led to wonder how this will help anything in the world or in our neighborhood, especially if we picture holiness as piety, as unworldliness, or super religiosity. If we interpret it as how bright is our halo, how clean is our robe. It seems that the world needs less, not more, religious fanatics. But God, through Moses, is not advocating this, but is tearing down the super religious concept of holiness for his hearers and providing a different image of holiness evidenced in practical actions and words, the same way that God exhibits his holiness, that God shows love. Moses is talking about being practically holy, holy in practical and life-giving ways. God's message to the people of God was a teaching to be learned and repeated for their lives. And it began, "You shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." But we can all list buts, can't we? Not the least of which, but that's impossible. What would that accomplish in my neighborhood? The truth is, maybe you'll be disappointed in this, but I'm not going to deconstruct it. Rather, I want us to take it seriously, to think about what it actually means. It is important because not only was this passage given to people 3,000 years ago, it was learned and found to be helpful and passed on from generation to generation. And even Jesus quoted it in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. However, be holy as God is holy, with different languages and translations, comes out of Jesus' mouth as, be perfect, as the Lord your God is perfect. Now, I'm not sure that this is any less daunting to our ears today, certainly isn't to mine, right? But it was important for discipleship. It was cited over a dozen times in the gospel and echoed in the teaching of the early church as found in the rest of the New Testament. So since Jesus took this seriously for his life and for his ministry and for his mission in the world, we should not overlook the importance of this phrase and this whole teaching. It is important to note that it doesn't stand alone as an otherworldly teaching, as a concept in the right way to think so that we can look better among our neighbors. It is an introduction to the practical practice of being holy. To think about what this might mean for us today, we begin with what it meant for those who first spoke and heard those words. You shall be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Because I am the Lord your God, you should imitate me. This teaching begins with the reason for practical holiness. For the ancients, love was not just warm, fuzzy thoughts, not just feeling good towards somebody, but involved action, just as God's love involved action. So Moses begins with what it means to be holy, answering the question, why? Why should we listen to this teaching and why should we do it? And the answer is because the Lord is your God. The Lord is holy. Imitate God. He teaches that holiness is not just the thoughts and the feeling good towards someone, but a state of belonging to God in all areas of our lives, whether it be family or calendars or business dealings or civil or criminal law that are enacted in your state or in your country, social relationships, sexual relationships, how you treat others who are different than yourself. Why? Moses says, because I am the Lord your God. In other words, this would be the right response to God's love, to show it in action, as God has shown you how to act. Remember, you were once slaves in Egypt. Remember how I listened to your prayers and brought you out. Do not oppress other people in your place. Learn to live in right relationships and show love. Imitate me. As a group and as individuals, it turns out you are God's children. Moses tells them they are to bear the family resemblance. They are to be about the family business, as Jesus calls it, of seeking justice for all people, of living out right relationships with others, of sharing not just what you have left over, but what you have, not just with those you love, but with those who you meet, by being kind to friend and stranger and seeking justice for all. As you imitate God's love and grace in response to God's love for you, what you do becomes holy. Alternatively, if what you do hurts others, oppresses others, obscures the truth, takes advantage of the less fortunate, God becomes party to ill treatment and oppression because you bear God's name. God's name becomes associated with that. So be holy as God is holy. In other words, what people do and say matters. So Moses begins the teaching and says, this is why you should be holy in practical ways. In practical ways, show holiness. When Jesus cited this teaching, he said, this is the law as it was written for your ancestors. It helped them to lay the foundation of the society, of a just society. But these are not just a comprehensive set of rules that, when followed to the letter, make you holy. Rather, at the heart of these rules is what God desires for you. People of God are to adapt the laws and ideas to be relevant in each time and place, in your time and place. And to do that, every group must begin with understanding the why, because I am the Lord your God, and the intent of the teaching to form a right and just society. It's not to make people look better than each other, but together to reveal God's character in the world, to be salt and light. So Jesus began a teaching with a teaching they knew by heart. Be holy, as Lord your God is holy, and then reinterpreted it. He said, you have heard it said, it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you. And he went on to interpret it, to interpret the rules to apply in the context of Roman oppression and occupied territory. If you don't understand some of those things, like turning the other cheek or walking the extra mile or handing over your cloak and your shirt too, it's because it is bound in that time. Not that they doesn't mean anything anymore, but it has particular meaning then. With those words, Jesus reminded people that God was their God. God was the reason for the rule. God of mercy and justice is the Lord your God, he says. Live in response to what God has done. For instance, it's not enough not to kill someone. You have to have the right attitude towards that person. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says it's not enough to love those who love you. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Jesus taught not just a new interpretation for us to take as new rules for our lives, but a way of looking at Scripture and understanding how to use the teachings that have been handed down to us. So today, let's approach Leviticus in the way that Jesus approached it and prayerfully seek to interpret in light of our context. How are we to be holy in this post-factual, post-truth era, in this protectionist era? Now, if you read Leviticus, you know that the next thing that was said was about harvesting your fields. I know most of you have not been guilty of harvesting your fields to the edges or taking every grape off your vines. I mean, when was the last time that harvesting your field or picking grapes was a major issue in your spiritual life? Anybody? All right, we can go on. As this law rule is written, it is irrelevant to most of us, but the foundation is extremely relevant, especially today, especially in the context of what we've been talking about. You see, the foundation is this. God has been generous, gracious, loving towards you. So do not be greedy with what God has provided for you. Take care of the less fortunate. Give them not just what is left over when you're done with it. Give them of the bounty of the harvest. Provide for refugees and for foreigners in your midst. Understand that what you have comes from God. And share with God and share with others what God has given to you. Imagine what it looks like to care for refugees this way in Calgary today. And then do it. Look at those who are oppressed in society, those who need help, those who do not have a voice, those who are falling through the cracks. Imagine together ways to enact justice and to show kindness. And then let's get out and do it. Perhaps it's giving to Presbyterian Sharing to help assimilate refugees. Perhaps it's forming a lobby together to ensure justice for all. Perhaps it's learning how to support newcomers in our city and going out in groups or in ones and twos and doing that. We have been given imaginations. We have been given the foundations. It's up to us to build on them, so that we, through our words and actions, show God's heart in the world. Some of the laws really require no updating, I'm sorry to say. We are to live with integrity. So how does this look in a post-truth world? You should not lie to one another. Point. Full stop. Do not lie. Do not bend the truth. Tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We need to learn how to tell the truth, not just to spin stories so they work to our advantage. You see, as we tell the truth, we prove ourselves to be trustworthy. And in that witness to that we are trustworthy, we point the witness that God is trustworthy because we are Christians, because we are God's people, because God is associated with what we do. So we show that God can be trusted when we tell the truth. You see, God is our God. We also need to call out untruth in the world, not just roll our eyes at it or snicker at it when it's somewhere else. We need to call out untruth, to take a stand against what is false and misleading, whether it be in politics or in the office place or in our schools or in our communities. The teaching is, you shall not slander. In this highly connected world, it has special relevance. I think it means no talking about others behind their back, no unfriending without talking to someone, no nasty Facebook posts, no snide Snapchats, or no spinning stories so that others look bad. You get the idea. Holiness is about being God's hands and feet and mouthpiece in the world. It is about doing practical things from a standpoint of knowing that God is our God and God has been generous and gracious to us. It is about showing love to others as God has shown love to us. We are to do it, why? Because God is our God. Because we are already recipients of God's love and grace. We don't have to earn it. We are to do it because Christ has shown us a better way. This then is holiness. It's highly practical. It's about how we act in everyday places and relationships. If we live this way, if we act against injustice and learn to show kindness, if we take on this as our mission in the world, if we will not stand for ill treatment of our neighbors, we would indeed be salt and light in the world, in our community, we would indeed show the world a better way. It may not change things all at once, but little by little, with God's grace and in God's Spirit, that light will grow. May it be so in our lives, in our communities, in our world. Amen.